This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now. Check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's a pretty good show, The Office. Yeah. The baseball isn't bad this weekend, Bulldog, if you want to mix things up. Mets-Braves is pretty good. It matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Met guy.
Oh, right. That's right.
Bet on them. I bet on them because I can watch them.
Yeah, well, that's how people get to be fans.
So now I'm a Mets fan.
I became a Mets fan because they were on TV.
Right, that's
In the mid-80s. I mean, kind of close to the same thing. Close to the same thing. And I used to bet with my mom on the games, whether Tim Tuffle would get a hit.
Mom's big on the same game parlay.
Would wager, right?
That's where I get it from.
Kevin, did you also grow up? There's Kevin. Kevin, did you also grow up this way, betting Met games with your mom?
No. I don't think so. My mom didn't have much interest in baseball. My dad did. My dad's kind of the reason why I became a Yankees fan. I was a huge Dave Winfield fan. I've got a bunch of memorabilia from him.
All right.
He used to be my favorite player growing up. So the other New York team.
Right. Did that make you insane when George Steinbrenner would call him Mr. May?
Oh, yes. Everything they went through. But I was really young at that time when they were going through that. What am I these days, 45? So I was really young with that. But I remember he hit a seagull or something, and people came down on him for that, like and just throwing the ball around in the stadium. But he was always my favorite player growing up, Dave Winfield was.
Love Winfield. Good choice. I love the other New York team, too, as they're often known, the Yankees, the other New York team. That's good.
Exactly.
Kevin, how about a proper introduction for once? Kevin Payne of RotoWire, our friend joining us here on the West Her Hotline. A late onslaught here, Kevin, it seems, of injury news around the league, perhaps piqued by Christian McCaffrey going from, you know, last week he sort of, what was his joke? If I did anything, they'd put me on the injury report, you know? All the speculation all offseason about whether McCaffrey can stay on the field. And now it sounds a little bit like he might miss.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because it's week four and we're finally into this point of the season where I'm writing my waiver wire article. I start Sunday night. I write it Monday. I finish it up Tuesday morning. Then all these injuries kind of popped up out of nowhere. I mean, we kind of knew about David Montgomery. I even thought Dalvin Cook might miss the game this week, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Had the shoulder subluxation, which is something he dealt with last year. He missed week 13, but that was it. So I think they know what they're going to kind of do with him. But you saw, like, these injuries just pop up out of nowhere. All the guys from the Saints are going to be down. Winston's going to be down. Michael Thomas is going to be down. He wasn't really even on my radar to miss this week, so it gives a little boost to a guy like Jarvis Landry. We've already seen Olave be absolutely fantastic. So I guess we're just at that point of the season where we kind of, you know, we're enough into it that these guys, these injuries are going to pop up during the week, and they're always underreported. This is the way they've always done things. But, yeah, I think that each week we're going to have stuff and have to pay attention to what goes on during the week with some of these guys. I do think McCaffrey's going to try to get out there. I will say this. Rhule's probably going to be the first coach that gets the axe. I know the owner gave him a vote of confidence, but I think it's going to happen sooner than later. There's reports that he's lost the locker room. So I do think that McCaffrey tries to give it a go. I did pick up Chuba Hubbard in a few leagues just as an insurance policy in case Christian McCaffrey's going to be out on Sunday.
You did, in the course of talking there, say that it kind of is always like this, and I want to press a little on that. Is it has it gotten more vague? It feels like there's a lot more, like, I don't know, there's less definition, a lot more wait till Sunday morning, but maybe that's been there and I just haven't noticed as much. Maybe it's gambling that's doing it to me. Like, I'm wondering why you're not giving me more clarity so I can gamble appropriately.
Wow. Yeah, and I'll give you a really good example. Last week was nobody thought Justin Herbert was going to play. I mean, they thought that he probably wasn't going to play. At least that's the feel I got. You saw that the line moved significantly, yeah. Moved a few points, and then he ended up playing. I didn't really matter. And give some credit to was Jacksonville. They are actually, I think they're a very good football team. But, I didn't think Herbert was going to play based upon how the line moved. And that's one of the ways that, like, at least in the recent years I've taken a look at it, is where's the line moving in this? Because I think that's a very good indication. If anybody's going to know, it's probably the people in Vegas on whether or not a player is going to be in or out, and then obviously they adjust the line accordingly. But it didn't work out last week for Herbert. But I think they are just being very vague and not really telling us exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, a foot injury for Michael Thomas. Okay, well, what's wrong with his foot? Is it broke? Is it a strained tendon? Something, you know, what's going on with his foot? And with that game, especially some of these games that we're going to see over across the pond, I wonder if sometimes they just say to these guys, take the week off. Don't get on the flight and have to go all the way over to London and then come all the way back. Take the week off. And I wonder if that's what they did with Thomas. So it's really tough, I think. It's been tougher, at least for me, to read the tea leaves as far as trying to figure out the health of these guys and whether or not they're going to be on the field come Sunday.
With Kevin Payne. Kevin, I thought of a question here while you were talking. You mentioned how the line moved last week in that Jaguars game because of Justin Herbert. And that's something we talk about here sometimes, too. Are you a player who will go to the prop lines to try to predict fantasy outcomes, like go to the Bills-Ravens game, see what the predicted or the prop over-under is on Stephon Diggs or whoever, and then you can use that information, maybe it tells you just what the expectation is. Is that redundant when you have fantasy projections, or is it sometimes quite different to do that?
No, I've definitely done that, and it gives me a good base. Now, many times it's not come true, and you brought up Stephon Diggs. I mean, week one, I can't remember what his over-under for receiving yards was. I think it was, like, in the 60s, believe it or not. So, obviously, it's not always true, but I think it does. What I like to do is see where it's at, try to predict it ahead of time. I was shocked. I thought that the game last night, I thought for sure the Bengals were going to be, like, a 1 or 2 point favorite. So, when I saw it was 4, I was surprised. But then you hear how, you know, Miami, short week, had to travel, had to get out of there early because of the hurricane, and it made a little bit more sense to me. But if I take a look at some of these lines and it's something very different than what I expected, I sit down and try to figure out, okay, well, why is it this much different than what I thought it was going to be? So, again, it's not always a good indicator, but it's definitely something that, for fantasy, that I've always taken a look at before, you know, gambling became legalized here in New York. It was something that I would take a look at each and every week for my fantasy teams, even though I couldn't bet on, you know, the props or the games or whatever, just because, as I said, I just want to double check and make sure I didn't miss something during the week about a player, about a matchup, about the defense they're playing against and how they're going to scheme against them. So it's something that I've always taken a look at and will continue to do so.
Good to know for players, you know, what the process should be or could be. Kevin Payne of RotoWire, Keenan Allen ruled out. He might have been better and then had a setback. He was at practice this week. Also, Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the young stars this year, wide receiver for Detroit, ruled out. Kevin, in terms of the Saints, you mentioned Thomas, spoke on him and mentioned Olave. The rookie receivers are a big story this year. London, Olave, Garrett Wilson showed up. Burks has been a struggle, and Dotson here and there, but man, like, if it maybe was different years ago, Now it seems you can play rookie receivers, you know, the first round guys, and even sometimes later round guys with confidence.
Yes, and you know me, I drafted Treylon Burks in our league. I had to make a deal with Sneaky Joe, and I have not lost faith in Burks. I still think that, you know, there's time for him, you know, to go ahead and emerge over the second half of the season. And we see that oftentimes with rookies. But, yeah, these rookies coming out, I mean, we saw it with Chase, you know, even Justin Jefferson. These guys are ready for the NFL game. They play in these pro-type style offenses in college. So they're ready as soon as they get the NFL to go ahead and make an immediate impact. So, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I completely forgot when he was, you know, he ruled out. He was a little bit of a surprise. He's been fantastic for the Detroit Lions, who also in a few weeks should be getting back Jameson Williams, another rookie. Right. Was a guy that I wrote about this week that if you're in a fantasy league, now is the time to get him because he's free. Once they go ahead and say, okay, he's going to play this week, all of a sudden everybody's going to be spending their fab on him. So he might be a guy that I would be proactive in going out and getting. But he's got a ton of upside. That Detroit Lions team is fun, and Dan Campbell has his faults, but I do root for those guys if they're just playing a team that I really don't care about, because I think that Detroit's been so down on their luck over recent seasons that I think that, you know, it kind of makes me want to root for them, you know, kind of being the underdog.
Mike mentioned all these rookie receivers, and Garrett Wilson was among them. A lot of targets the last 2 weeks with Flacco, I think 24 targets total over the last two games. But there's a quarterback change, and Zach Wilson, like, would that give you any hesitation on Wilson?
It might. We know that Zach Wilson got to work last year with Elijah Moore, and I'm an Elijah Moore owner, as Mike knows. So I think that it's actually going to be very good for Elijah Moore, more so. So I think that we could see Wilson take a step back. Now, the one thing I do like about the New York Jets is if you take a look at this team, there's a very narrow passing tree. You always want to find a team that's got a narrow passing tree. That way you know that these guys are going to get targets. I mean, there's no reason to think that on any given Sunday that both Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson can have big games. I know Corey Davis is there. Braxton Berrios really never has lived up to his potential. Tight ends, you know, most of those guys are just asked to block. They do throw a lot of passes out of the backfield to Michael Carter and Breece Hall. But I think that if you're taking a look at Wilson might come down a little bit, but I think that still – him and Moore, they should each be getting 8 to 12 targets each and every single game from Zach Wilson. You got to think that Zach Wilson's arm's a little bit stronger than what Joe Flacco's was. I would rather gamble on his upside than Joe Flacco going forward. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yes, Garrett Wilson has shown that he's the real deal. And we're seeing this across the NFL. Every team has to have two good wide receivers. It's not the days in the past, and Calvin Johnson comes to mind, where he's like the top guy, and then everybody else is kind of – you know, there, but not really going ahead and doing anything to help them. Every single team that is good in the NFL has two legitimate number one wide receivers. We saw it last night with T. Higgins. I mean, T. Higgins is the number two wide receiver for the Bengals, and Tyler Boyd would be the number one wide receiver on a lot of teams, and he's the number three guy. So I just think that's the way the NFL has shifted. As we know, it's much more of a passing game these days, so you need to have two legitimate number one options.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. With the Bills, I'm always restless about wide receiver, even with as good as their passing game has been. And it's, you know, it hasn't really faltered too much yet. Davis needs to be out there for me. It's, you know, their opponent Sunday is interesting for this, Kevin, because you'd have to consider Mark Andrews one of those two guys. I mean, Duvernay, a lesser-known player, has made plays for them this year. How about their success in fantasy? Right now, if you're the stacking type, quarterback and a receiver on the same team or tight end, Baltimore is the leader in the clubhouse through 3 weeks.
Yes, and you know, just talking about narrow passing tree, I couldn't even tell you who the fourth leading receiver after Bateman and Andrews. We know what they've done. And as you said, Duvernay's found the end zone. He's finally come into his own. I'm not completely surprised by that. I thought there was always potential. He just hasn't gotten into it till so far this year, but it's basically those three guys with Bateman and Andrews leading the way. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with stacking, especially in season-long leagues. If you do any type of daily fantasy, obviously that's always been a strong strategy to win a bigger tournament. And Bateman, I mean, the whole thing is when they went ahead and traded and got rid of Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, I mean, that said a lot to me that they had a lot of faith in Bateman, and obviously they already knew what they had in Andrews. You know, at worst, you can call Andrews a top three tight end in the league. Argument for number one, number two, if you want to go with Kelce, maybe even Dallas Goedert. But right now, Andrews has been fantastic, Bateman. So they knew they had these three good passing options. And I think now that D.K. Dobbins is back too, you're going to see more of the running game. And you know Dobbins is going to get a lot of holes playing with a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson. But, you know, as we saw last season, the Bills seem to have their number. So it'll be interesting to see with the injuries and stuff the Bills have had in their secondary, how the passing attack and Lamar Jackson do against Buffalo Sunday.
How much, if at all, do you worry about the weather there? Like, it's supposed to be rainy. I don't know, maybe not as hard as it's going to rain there tomorrow, but still rain. Does that slow you down on – I'm just not going to slow you down on Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Steph Diggs if you've got these guys or Andrews. Like, but, like, as far as maybe, like, you know, guys a little further down your lineup, do you worry about that if the weather's going to be a thing?
Yeah, I think you have to. And the big thing that we take a look at usually for fantasy – and whether it's going to affect the passing attack is usually the wind. I mean, that's the big thing. It's not snow. It's not rain quite as much unless it's an absolute downpour. I'm not particularly worried about the weather this week. As I said, wind is the thing that I would take a look at. I actually honestly haven't seen what the wind weather is supposed to be this weekend in Baltimore. But when you start to see gusts 15, 20 miles an hour, then I go ahead and get a little worried. And that would be the point where, as we were talking earlier, looking at these lines, when you see the over-under top start to drop, that's typically one of the big reasons why, is that the wind is going to play a factor in the game.
Hey, Kevin, how about Jackson, Allen, Jalen Hurts so far? To a lesser extent, maybe slightly lesser extent or not, Kyler Murray, highly drafted, Mahomes, Herbert, the top-tier quarterbacks. It seems like the Sharps have always wanted to wait on quarterbacks in drafts. Is the success, the huge numbers that the top guys are putting up, has that changed? I mean, some of the guys in the middle, and it might not be good thinking here, like Lance going out like he did, Brady not producing. Some of those guys in the middle, though, Prescott, as it happens, have not been either successful, productive, or even playing at all. I don't know. Like, again, that's injuries mostly. But are quarterbacks going to be drafted earlier in the future?
They might. They might. Because I think we definitely are seeing a situation where there's going to be tiers. You take a look at some of the numbers. Tom Brady's been terrible. Russell Wilson's been terrible. There's been a lot of guys, I think, that people thought that they could wait into those middle rounds and take, and they just haven't been good. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been good, especially when you're looking at, as I said, if you look at the top one or two tiers, I mean, those guys have been money, absolutely. And ironically, the two guys that in redraft leagues I targeted all summer were Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance. Now, one of them's worked out great. Trey Lance, I think, would have been fine. Remember, he had that weird – that was a weather game up in Chicago. That was the type of weather and downpour with the rain that does affect the game. But you take a look at some of these guys, and I think a guy like Kirk Cousins with O'Connell as his head coach, we know he likes to throw the ball. I think he's going to be better going forward. Matthew Stafford hasn't been great. He's got more interceptions than touchdowns, believe it or not. I think he's going to be better going forward. Derek Carr is going to play in a lot of high-scoring games. I think he's going to be fine. But I think that there's that lower tier that we kind of took guys as our backup to be on our bench. Guys like, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, especially Justin Fields with his rushing ability, that we thought maybe they take the next step. It's a lottery ticket. Nobody thought, you know, for sure this guy's going to go ahead and take that next step and be very fantasy relevant. Even Daniel Jones, I mean, he does run the ball, which gives you those points that you're not going to get from a Stafford or a Brady or something like that. But none of those guys has really taken the next step. And even Matt Ryan, I mean, everybody thought that he's in this offense. He's got Pittman to throw the ball to. It's a great offense. You have arguably the best running back in the NFL in your backfield. He hasn't really done a whole lot. So I think that we might see quarterbacks go a little bit higher just based upon, as you kind of talked about, those six or seven top guys in the league. And even Burrow, just with the receivers he has, you know, he's going to be just fine as well. But I think there's six or seven guys, and then I think there's a pretty big fall-off, especially as some of those guys that I talked about are not getting any younger. So there's definitely going to start to be a decline with some of them.
Mm-hmm. Running back's interesting, too, with how valuable they are. And you have, I mean, what, you had Taylor and McCaffrey this year, then Eckler. But if you go down the list, it's like you get to Barkley before you're happy, I think. You know, like some of the guys have been okay, Derrick Henry or Harris or whoever. But a lot of those early round running backs, first, second round, I don't know. You're maybe wondering right now what you've got. Eckler.
Yeah, Eckler's got 80 rushing yards on the season. 32 carries, 80 rushing yards, 2.5 yards a carry. You take a look at even Mixon, 2.7 yards a carry. He's getting the volume. That's the only thing that's kind of saving him at this point. Finally found the end zone last night. But I think we're starting to see a shift in the early rounds. And if you think about the guys who went really early, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and the answer has always been Cooper Kupp. I don't know why. I guess maybe we're always looking for the shiny new object, the guy that can get you some crazy record-breaking number, which is why Jefferson and Chase might have gone ahead of Cooper Kupp. But Cooper Kupp is just absolutely positively consistent. So I think we are starting to see a little bit of shift going forward in the upcoming years from running backs in those early, especially in the first round, going to wide receiver, especially we all play in PPR leagues. I know our league's full point PPR, but just about every other league, I can't think of a league I do that's still standard. It's at least half point PPR. And the whole reason that they ended up doing that years ago was just a shift because running backs were so valuable that they wanted to go ahead and make the wide receivers a little bit more even in scoring for fantasy. So I think there's definitely going to be a shift, but there's been a lot of disappointments in the first couple rounds. James Conner was banged up. He hasn't done a whole lot. He's averaging 3 yards a carry. There's just not a lot of guys out there who've done great. Nick Chubb obviously has been the one guy who, if you waited till the second round and got him or late first round, he's been fantastic, who should continue to do so, even with the presence of Kareem Hunt there. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys. If you take a look at the guys who are number 20 or beyond as far as running backs goes, they have just as good numbers as the top guys. Cordell Patterson, oh, he showed up on the injury report today too. He's got 302 rushing yards so far. So I guess one of my friends, Scott Pianowski, always used to say, any draft strategy for fantasy is the right strategy as long as you pick the right players.
Yes. Chubb has managed to be the top running back so far despite almost never catching a pass. So that speaks to how he's gotten in the end zone, I think, 4 times so far. Okay. Kevin, any final like long shot, sleeper, anything like that you're thinking about for Week 4?
No, I do think I think there's going to be a couple guys that have really good games. I think Mike Evans, he's like the last man standing there for Tom Brady in Tampa. So that game Sunday night, I think Mike Evans is going to have a huge week, especially coming back from the suspension. I think he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder. I was just reading something up on our site today that the perimeter defense is not that good, so Evans should be able to feast. I also think that if DK Metcalf doesn't do something this week, I would be super worried about him. Granted, Geno Smith's not the best quarterback to get him the football, but I think it's a great matchup against the Detroit Lions. But if Metcalf can't do it this week, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you can continue to start him going forward. And we're not even going to talk about Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, the Bears receivers. Mm. They have done nothing. Through 3 games, Darnell Mooney has 27 receiving yards. One of the very, I mean, at least I would say top 25 guy in the league as far as wide receiver goes, 27 receiving yards. They just can't get him the ball. The Bears, to me, are, I think, a big phony, and I think that as the season goes on, that's going to become more and more apparent.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, it looks, they're just not even trying. Metcalf's interesting. Like, Lockett is having a couple, has had a couple of good games for Geno, and they picked the pace up last week, so I'll be watching that one, too. It sets up like it could be a good one, but Detroit's down Swift and St. Brown now. We'll see.
He did have 17 points last week. He scored.
DK?
Yeah, DK.
Yeah, the Atlanta game. That's right. All right, Kevin, nice to talk to you again. Good luck.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Kevin Payne, RotoWire at KC Payne, Payne, 26. Anything last night for you? I had Waddle.
No. Yeah, I saw. I looked. Because I'm playing Nate Geary, and he had Hill. He's got Hill. So we're down 26-0. We didn't have anybody going in the game last night, though. No.
Waddle, I put Waddle in over St. Brown and Marquise Brown. And if you're wondering how it's possible to have Waddle, Marquise Brown, Amon-Ra, Diggs, and A.J. Brown, what can I tell you?
Small league.
I'm weak at kicker. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sal Capaccio on the Dunn Tire Roundtable next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.